such an amazing Holy Ghost moments. Breakthrough has happened. Hallelujah. How many of you that came forward earlier and believe in God for total breakthrough felt a weight lifted off of you? You feel different. Hallelujah. I want to hear testimonies next week. That's what I'm believing for. You see, when it's happened, there will be a manifestation of it. You will know something is different. And so this week, I believe if you've dealt with thought patterns, you're going to notice the minute they try to come back. If you've dealt with some kind of sickness, you're going to notice the minute that symptom tries to come back. And you're just going to speak to that thing, and it's going to break. I was actually thinking about a testimony Jake shared at the outreach for Easter. And he was really sick that morning, and he was supposed to be sharing the gospel. And he got by his bed, and he just started praising God and thanking God for his healing. And it didn't take long, and all that nausea left, and he was able to come share the gospel. And I can't remember how many people got saved, but they got saved. But see, he didn't go, oh, I feel too sick, I can't come. He said, no, I'm going to start praising God for my healing because I know healing is mine. See, it's all about, we don't have to beg God for your healing. You don't have to beg God for anything. You just start thanking him, amen, and praising him. And it's in that praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit, on how to go. Pastor's like, how are you going to do that? I don't know yet. Amen. Yeah, you're just here. I know. Okay, good. All right. Hallelujah. So I had a couple scriptures that came to me. And Jake has a testimony about offerings. And I'm going to just share some scriptures here really quick. It says in Psalms 37, 25 through 26, because it kept coming to me about, you don't have to beg God for your healing. You don't have to beg God for your blessing. Blessings are chasing after you. Amen. You just have to release to God and let him bless you. Stop trying to figure it out in your own way. It says that once I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly. Who in here is the godly? Amen, the redeemed of the Lord, or abandoned, or their children begging for bread. Your children will never beg. You will never be abandoned as you give to the Lord. The godly always gives generous loans to others. Who here wants to generously loan to others? Amen. Who here wants to give loans and not get paid back? They just want to pay people's bills off. Amen? Yeah, because that's a characteristic of being a child of God, that you want to give generously. You know why? Because you're not in control of your source. God is your source. So he gives you more than enough and you have overflow. If you never lack, then someone else next to you never has to lack either. But if you think, well, I only need just enough to get by, how are you going to give loans? How are you going to give a loan and not get paid back? How are you going to bless others? How are you going to pay for their bills? You know, this whole thing about the poverty mentality, that's not the God I serve. You know, in Genesis, it says, go and multiply. Hallelujah. That's not just talking about people. That's talking about whatever you put your hand to should multiply. We serve a God of multiplication. And when you put it in his hand, he will multiply it. You know, this is times when I hope my parents aren't watching. But my dad said something to me this week, and it kind of fired me up. He said to me about, they were talking about the times being tight. Thank God we don't live in this world system. Amen. How many of you sow into God's kingdom? Then you don't live on this world system. See, you put your trust in him, not in man. And so my dad's talking about this stuff. And I said, you know, well, we just trust God. He says, well, I've never seen that happen. And I just sat there. How many of you don't like when people talk about your God? Yeah. Amen. You know, somebody's sick and people are like, well, God just might bring healing a different way. No, my God says that I am healed. And my healing is for right here and right now. I don't have to wait for it. Amen? So I get fired up about stuff like that. Don't talk about my God. Don't talk about my dad like that. And so I finally just looked at my dad and I said, I don't agree with you. And I said, but I don't have a time to teach you a lesson on sowing and reaping. And he just looked at me and he says, okay. I said, I know, but I just have to tell you that I don't agree with you. Because, you know, I don't have to get in an argument, but I can't stand for someone to say that. And he doesn't have an understanding. It's an ignorance. I get it. But I still can't let those words be spoken out there without me just saying, no, that's not true. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve is always on time. And when you put it in his hand, he will multiply. When you give generously, watch, because it says he gives seed to the who? Sower. How many of you are sowers? Amen. How many of you believe in for seed? Amen. Let me give you a testimony, and then Jake's going to give you a testimony. This week, somebody handed me a check for, you know what I was saying about God will watch over your generations? I shared this many times, but I'm going to keep sharing it because it's all to the glory of God. When Pastor David and I left the farm, and we had a plan, and our kids were going to be taken care of financially, everything was good. And I said, Lord, what about my children?
And he said, as you serve me, I will take care of your children. And I have watched my children be blessed beyond measure. And this week, someone handed me a check. And actually, Lakin said to me last month, God said he's going to take care of Mason. Mason hasn't found a job yet, and he's been looking. And this week, somebody handed me a check for Mason. And I looked at that check, and I said, that's like a little over half of his rent. So that day, that next morning, I woke up. I said, Lord, I'm believing right now that we're going to have the rest of his rent money come in, and it's going to be paid for before it's even due in October. And I had the exact amount that I needed. I wasn't thinking anything about it. Somebody called me and said, hey, I have some money for Mason I want to give him. Well, they handed me this envelope, and it was money for Mason, and it was some money for me. But guess what all I saw? Guess what the full amount was? Exactly what I was thanking God for that morning, for the cash to come in for Mason. So Mason, I called him, and I said, call me quick. I've got a testimony for you, but he's in class. So he called me, and I said, I just deposited your rent check for October. He said, what? So praise God. God will take care. You can believe for things for your children. Amen? My daughter has a testimony that, you know, she thought she had a debt, and guess what? She had a credit on her account at school. My daughter is paying for her college in full in cash, amen? And I don't get to contribute to it, but my God is taking care of all of it. As you give, the generations will be blessed. It might not come through you. You have to trust God. You see, that's how God humbles us. God humbles us that we can't do it all for our kids. We watch him do it because we trust God even with our children, amen? And we trust God with our finances. And this is the word that the Lord gave to me this morning too on the way over here. And I want to share it with you real quick. And you say, well, you're the pastor. That happens for you. Listen, God is no respecter of persons. What are you believing for? I always want my children to have better than me. How many of you as parents want your children to be start off at a better place than you? Amen? Exactly. So you start thanking God, but you have to, just like you have to give your finances over to God, you have to give your children over to God. You have to let him make the plans for your children. You have to watch him work through your children. You can't do it all. What's the same with your finances? You can have the greatest plan and have all the overtime worked out, but it isn't going to do it unless you put it in God's hand. Let him do the work. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord said to me. As you put into my hand, I will multiply and put back into your hand as you release. It will happen. Just trust and believe and know that I am God. Know that I can do it. How many of you believe that God can multiply what you put in his hand? How many of you believe he has a better interest rate than any rate you could find here on earth? Amen. How many of you believe he has a better return on investment than anything you can find here on earth? Hallelujah. You can put your money in that stock market and it crashes. But I got seed in the kingdom. And it never goes backwards. Hallelujah. It only has a growth. It never has a negative. Praise God. So that's why it's important for you to diversify your seed even in the kingdom. Just like you diversify your seed in the stock market, diversify your seed in the kingdom. It says, but you must release fully, not holding on to it if you put it in my hand. Anybody ever handed you money and said, now this is what I want you to do with it? That's not fully releasing it. So when you give it to God, you need to say, God, I'm trusting how you're going to use it. I'm trusting how you are going to do, and I am believing for the kingdom to be built. You must know that it will fully happen. Not being not sure of what's going to happen, you must put it in my hand and declare that you know and that you will see that I will multiply and give it back to you because you are my children, and I love you, and I am not a man that I should lie. All you must do is release and believe, surrender and believe every area of your life. What are finances anyway? Light it on fire and it's all gone. I heard the Lord say that this morning. I'm like, I don't think we're going to light any money on fire, but that's what he said. It's just a vapor. But when you put it into God's hand, he uses it supernaturally. Amen? It's so much more than what you can see. And the Bible says as you put it in his hand, he will multiply and give it back to you. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 13, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. How many of you want to get a generous crop? Then you got to plant generously. But I also want to remind you in this scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 8:12, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have,
not what you don't have. So when I say give generously, think about the woman with the two mites. That's all she had. But that was the generous she could possibly be. So if all you have is two pennies, great, that's generous because it's all you have. Don't get caught up in man's way of saying you didn't give generously. Yes, you did. You gave what you could give. Amen? And God sees your heart. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. But I need you to see there's a cause and effect, because it says as you give generously, God will provide generously. Amen? That's the whole thing. As you give, not out of necessity, but because you want to. There are scriptures all throughout the Bible where they had to restrain people from giving because they were giving so much. They weren't looking at what they didn't have. They were like, everything I have, I want to give to God. Amen? As the scripture says, As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Who produces the great generosity? God, not you. Amen. Jake, you want to come share your testimony?
Praise the Lord, everyone. How are we today? Pastor Lacey just touched on like five or six different things that this testimony brought to me. So this is kind of just a reiteration of that. I was dwelling on the scripture yesterday and this morning. I think it's Isaiah 65:23. It says, before they call on me, I will hear them. And while they are still speaking, I will answer them. And so I was sharing this with Pastor David this week, and Pastor Lacey asked me to share a testimony this morning. And it all hit me all at once when everybody was being prayed for up here. The presence was, like, so strong, and I didn't have anything to come up for healing for, so I wanted to wait till everybody cleared out of the way, but the presence was so strong in here because God is healing. His presence is here. God doesn't heal. He is healing. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. He doesn't provide for you. He is provision. Jesus' name is Jesus. He saves. He is salvation. So wherever his presence, when healing was going on, it wasn't like they were administering healing to the people and it was just going there. It's like, no, God came and healing happened. And it's the same thing with provision. So I'll share this. Last week, as many of you know, Lake and my wife is pregnant. We're expecting a baby in December. And as many of you also know, when you get pregnant, your clothes don't fit quite the same as they did before you got pregnant. And so we are at the point where it's time to start buying more maternity clothes, and we were looking at the budget, and there wasn't exactly a whole lot there left over for such clothing. And this month, we've been sowing. We've been at a couple of revival meetings. We've been just sowing seed as the Lord has directed us, sacrificially and as the Lord has directed us. Sacrificially in that we are going without certain things in order to sow, and then as the Lord directs us in obedience, he says, give this amount. We feel it in our spirit. We agree upon it, and we release it. And against all logic in the natural, that's what we were doing. And so it came to the point where, you know, Lakin said, you know, I could use some more maternity clothes. And you said something about it's God's job to provide. It's not ours. Well, as a man, and I'm sure every man has been here, in the natural, it's just your natural inclination and desire, your instinct to provide. And so when you see your wife needs something and you don't have something to provide that, in the natural, that's not a good feeling. And so we talked about it, what we were going to do. Should we just believe for clothing, or should we take from bills that we're going to pay later in the month and just hope God provides at the end of the month? And we weren't sure exactly what to do. So I brought it to the Lord in prayer. And most of my prayer was just thanking him, you know, just like the healing. He's the same God. He operates the same way. You know, he changes not, just like in the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. He changes without shadow of turning. And also in that song, it says, all of your needs, all of my needs, your hand hath provided. And so love that song. It was a great song for this testimony. And so I brought it up in prayer, and I said, Lord, you are a father to your children. You are also Jesus. You are the bridegroom to the bride in your church. I know that we're created in your image as a reflection of that, so I don't have to explain to you what it's like to want to provide, what it's like to want to provide for children and for your wife. And so I just started thanking him, and I think Pastor David mentioned it last week about putting God in remembrance of prayer, or in remembrance of his word. And so in prayer, I said, Lord, you say very clearly in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness and all of these things. And he specifically mentions clothing. Jesus mentions clothing as one of those things will be added to you. And I said, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let you provide and call it and just leave it at that. You're going to have to do it. I'm not going to provide for my wife. You are. I'm not going to provide for my child. You are. You're going to do all of this. And just left it at that and thanked him and said, you know, God, I'm committing you to your word is essentially what I said. And just believing it, not begging, like you said, just receiving and saying, I'm just going to step back and let you do the rest. And so I was doing the expense sheet the next day and saw that we had accidentally marked one of our larger expenses twice and the money was there the whole time. So even before they call, I will hear them. While they're still speaking, I will answer them, and that is so true. So that's, our giving testimony. And it all points back to God asking us to give sacrificially and just knowing that it's not really a sacrifice. He says it's going to come back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He loves a cheerful giver. He will provide all of our needs. Everything that is preached here in this church is so true. And the only key ingredient that you have to apply after that is your faith and taking God at his word and committing him to it. So we give all the glory to God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God will provide. God will make a way. And you know me, I love that he has an expense sheet. So what I really love about that is he's being a good steward with his money. And then the money was there the whole entire time because God does call us to be good stewards. But you know, it's about trusting God. The only way you can sacrificially give is if you're trusting God, trusting that he will bring it back to you. Amen. So we're going to get ready to take the offering. I think there's ways to give up here. There's a mailing address. There's some QR codes. Venmo, texting, online, all that great stuff. So the first offering we're going to take is for our tithes and offerings. So this is what you would normally give to the church. If there's things like, if you're like, outreach is speaking to me, you know, you can give towards the outreach. But you know, your tithes and offerings, the reason the Lord asks for the tithe and the offering is to just, that pays just the things that are going on at the church. Praise God. How many of you are believing for an even bigger church? Amen. Yes, too. Right. So the Lord is just growing us here. Every step we've taken to do things, you know, the Lord is providing, and he will continue to provide for not just for us, but for you. You're sowing into good ground. And another scripture talks about diversifying where you sow. And that's what you have even here at New Freedom. You're diversifying where you sow because we give to outreaches. We help other churches. We sow into other ministries. Amen. Amen. So if you want to just get your offering together, I'm going to give you a couple seconds. And as you give your offering, I'm going to challenge you, even above your tithe, what is the Lord having you give in that offering? Trusting him for whatever it is that you have need of. What are you trusting and believing God for? Amen. Now the offering after that is the one we're going to take for the Boyleses, okay? Hopefully they're not watching today, which I'm sure they are, but anyway, I'm hoping they're not. And when we take that offering, I'll explain it after we do this one. But first we give to God. Hallelujah. First we give to God, and we're believing for him to bring it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But he can't press down and shake anything and give it back to you if you don't give it to him first. Hallelujah. So ushers, if you want to come forward, if you need an offering envelope, they're on the back of the chairs. You can raise your hand. You can ask for one. The reason we have people share those testimonies is because So you can see that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for you. Amen. Just like Mason's rent being paid. Other bag. just like he'll do for one, he'll do for another. Just like Jake already having the money there. Whatever it is that you have need of, he will take care of it for you. Okay, ushers, if you want to go ahead and serve the people. Michaela, can you please help Dad? Never mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have all that we have need of. Thank you, Lord, that you give seed to the sower. Thank you, Lord, that you provide, that you are our provider. See, when you know God is your provider, it's not a problem to give because he is your provider. Hallelujah. You're like, well, they just want my money. I don't want your money. If you think that, please don't put your money in the offering basket. You're giving to God. You're showing him, yes, I trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Rick, will you pray over these offerings for us?
Pastor Travis, sorry. Father, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for this offering. We pray your blessing upon it. You would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good. Now go ahead, Travis. Now the second offering we're going to take is for the Boyles. Like I said, they don't say they have a need, but we want to give over and above and abundantly to them so they don't have to think about anything as they're traveling, as they're doing what they're doing. So we're going to take this offering for them. You can make your check out to Joseph Boyles. I know he likes Joseph. Joseph Boyles. And you can pull that off. Thank you. We're going to make that out to Joseph Boyles. If you want to give online, you go online and give and choose other and then put Boyles family for me if you're going to do that. If you want to give through credit card or anything like that. But cash or checks, you can put it. If you're giving cash, just throw it in an envelope and write Boyles family on there for me. Just so I know. Amen. So ushers, just you sat down, but you really got to stand back up again. So we just ask that you pray and ask the Lord what he would have you do. Again, don't give out of necessity or begrudgingly. Give the people just a few seconds to get right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what they have need of. Thank you, Lord, that it would be even more than enough for what they have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness steals, kills, and destroys. It doesn't just steal, kill, and destroy your body. But think about the woman with the issue of blood. It said she spent all that she had. Sickness takes money, too. So we're not going to allow the enemy to steal anything in the name of Jesus. You know, Pastor Joe likes to say, just kick the devil in the mouth, right? Knock his teeth out. That's what he likes to say. So as we give to the Boyles, it's just saying, enemy, you thought you'd taken them out, but you're not. They're going higher. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, ushers, go ahead and serve the people. And again, this offering is for the Boyles family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Golly, I feel like we need a different song so we can have a dance party, but I know that can't happen right now. You know, that's the great thing about being on Facebook and all these social media things. You can't put any music on because then they kick us off. So if you're wondering, why do you always have such weird instrumental music? Because you can't, because they pull you off. And we have a lot of people, we love our Facebook family that watches. So just know sometimes people like to come tell us what they think we should do differently. But just know that sometimes it's not possible. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thought I'd ask. Lord, we thank you for this offering for the Boyles family. Lord, I thank you that you multiply it in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that there will be no lack in the Boyles family in Jesus' name. Enemy, we put you on notice. What you thought was going to take them out is only going to take them higher. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Redeemer, that you are healing. And Lord, I thank you right now that every bill is paid in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You're fine. What I'm going to talk about today is I've been implementing throughout the service. And today I want to talk to you about a place of rest. How many could use some rest? Well, guess what? You're going to get it. And it's going to be better than what you think it's going to be. Because when we think about rest in the natural, or when we think about rest, we think about the natural, the physical realm. But what I want to talk about today is not about the natural realm of rest. It's a spiritual rest. And when you find that special place of spiritual rest, the natural is an automatic. And I'm going to show some truth to you here this morning, almost this afternoon. But the reason I'm bringing that up is I'm in total confidence of what Pastor Lacey and what's going on in the service. I'm not sweating it at all. I'm just resting in God. Because it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do. And if you sit there and you wonder, well, it's almost 11:45 and we haven't even heard the message yet. Guess what? We're resting. God is dealing with people, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to people throughout the service already today. And some people have got all they have need of for this morning already. Some people are just getting started. But the Lord knows what you have need of. And you can find a place of rest in Him where you will have all that you have need of all the time. And you can live at a place of peace and rest in your life daily, continually. Not this up and down stuff. And the reason I'm sharing this, and I'm just fired up, because people get so burnt out and struggle and worry and live their whole lives for a physical vacation, and they're not realizing that there's a spiritual rest that'll allow your natural vacation to be better than it's ever been before. See, a natural vacation should be in God just time with your family, away, separating from what you're doing. But in the natural, a vacation is you save all your money. You can't wait to get there. And it's like, oh, I'm finally here. And then halfway through, you're like, I got to go back to where I was. I got to go back to work. I got to go back to the struggle. Well, what kind of vacation is that when you only take a week or two, a year, and you go from struggle to a week of getting away from the struggle and then back to the struggle again? God doesn't want that. God wants you to live in peace and harmony, enjoy your vacation, and live in peace and harmony. If you don't like your job, find a job you like to do so you can have the peace of God on it, so it's not a struggle and it's not a burden to you. Oh, I have to go to work. No, you should enjoy going to work. Do something you love to do. The Lord will open a door to something that you love to do. If you love photography, if you love plumbing, if you love whatever you like to do, go do that. He'll make a way, because God's rest will want, He desires you to rest in what you do. And I'm going to explain this, because there's multiple rests in the Bible. You know, one rest is remaining. Like, if I do a part and the rest of something. But that's not what I'm talking about. The word I'm talking about rest today is a settle down, a cease, to abode, to colonize, the word reposing, which means to keep in a place, and it signifies a place of dwelling. So when I talk about a place of rest, it's a literal place you have to enter into. Okay? So spiritual rest is not something you can buy. Okay? It's not something you can work out and do in the natural. It's not something in your own ability. Amen. It's not something that you can talk your way into, or you can talk your way out of. You understand what I'm saying? Some people can enter into rest by having smooth words to make a situation different. It has nothing to do with your ability at all. Entering into God's rest is literally a decision to desire to go there. So if you want a permanent vacation in God, it's a decision away. It is a decision away. So if you're like this throughout the week, you need to settle that. You need to make a decision. I'm going to rest in God. And God, we just heard a testimony about resting in God. Everything you're seeing up here is God moving in God's presence. And when God's presence is there and you're resting in God, everything else will take care of itself. But if you're trying to rest in the natural only, you're forcing everything. You're trying to make everything happen. And I'm telling you, you will get burnt out. You will get wore down. And I know I will get people that will get on Facebook. They will not like this, especially ministers. But I'm telling you right now, sabbatical, I don't see sabbatical in the Bible. I don't see it. And you say, well, my pastor in our old church took a month sabbatical. I don't understand what that is. I don't understand what that, because when you're in God's rest and God's anointing, it's easy. When I'm up here, this is easy. This is fun. I'm resting in God. I'm in His presence as I minister. It's not a heavy thing. His yoke is what? Easy. His burden is light. When you're in God, it becomes easier. If you've ever carried something, the easiest thing to do is put it down and let it go. That's what resting in God is. It's putting your own things down and you're letting God take care of it. It's the easiest thing in the world, and it's a decision away. Amen. It's a decision away. So that word rest that I'm talking about is to cease. The best natural terminology I know to use is when you go to a courtroom and the lawyer or the attorney is speaking, and at the end they say, I rest my case. I cease the case. I'm done. I'm finished. I gave all I had, and that's it. I don't have to pick anything up. I don't have to convince anybody else. I rest my case. I cease from my case. And that's what you need to do with your life. Amen. And your worries and your anxiety and your thoughts. You have to cease from them, lay them down, and let God take care of it. And if you can make that decision that everything of this world and of the natural realm, God sees it, God knows what you have need of, and you can cease for a moment from it and give it to God, you can rest in God every moment of every day. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added. Everything in the natural will be added unto you if you do what? Make a decision to seek God first. You're here for a reason this morning. You may say, man, I didn't want to come to church, but I just felt to come to church. What you're going to get today will change your life forever if you make the decision to follow after what God says. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, this ceasing, and I'm going to share some scriptures, and this all came out of Psalms 23, what I preached on last week. And the first two verses say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside special streams. Amen. So when I read that, there's streams and there's meadows. Notice there's plural on that. It doesn't say a stream or a meadow. That means it's not one place in the natural that you have to go to be shepherded by God. If there's streams, plural, and there's meadows, plural, that means when you are shepherded by God, there's always a place of rest, and there's always a place of laying down. There's always a place of being fed and watered. So it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no green grass and it is bone dry, you can rest in God. You understand what I'm saying? This is beyond the natural. When they're talking about this, when you look at the Middle East, it's not a big place of nice, lush grass and flowing waters. It's dry. It's rocky. It's hard. How can he say this? You can't just take this as a natural thing only. This is a spiritual meaning. And when you understand the spiritual, it'll operate in the natural. And that's what people don't realize. They're working so hard in the natural to find rest. But when they find it in God, you automatically get it in the natural. You don't have to labor your whole life. You don't have to labor your whole life. Yes, God will bless what you put your hand to, but when you put your hand to it, you're doing your work unto the Lord. You're not doing it for self-gain. Does this make sense to anybody? Is this speaking to anybody? Because the world will live their whole life to try to find rest in the natural. Your 401k, your retirement, you get jobs based off of what perks and benefits come from it to feed your flesh. Think about it. Everybody looks at a job. What are the benefits? More so than what's the pay. Why? Because insurance is high. 401k, if they add so much, that means I can retire earlier. That means I can be on vacation sooner in my life. But little do we realize that if we do not find God's spiritual rest, even when you retire in the natural, you still don't have rest. It's still hard. And if you can find the place where God is in every situation, you'll realize that you can start having your vacation today. Because you enter into a place of rest in God. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to share scriptures with you. Because some of you, the wheels are turning and the light's flickering, but you're like, I don't quite get this. Watch. Watch this. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. Now, this is back at the very beginning at creation. And this word rest that I'm talking about here is ceasing. And a lot of people read this scripture. This is talking about the seventh day. Verse 1 says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day," verse 2, "God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was a day when he rested from all his work of creation." That word rested there is not what the English language thinks it is. It is not rested because he was tired. If God gets tired, we got a problem. God never gets tired. He wasn't wore out after 6 days of creation and said, "Man, I need the seventh day. When I made David, he wore me out, and I had to take a break on the seventh day." That's not God. God does not get tired. God does not grow weary. So we can't take that word rest that way. That word rest there is to cease from work. He ceased because it was complete. He ceased because when he made you, he saw you perfect. And when he made creation out there, he saw it perfect. When he made the waters and the land and the skies and the animals, it was all perfect. Just like the lawyer rested his case. He ceased from it because it was finished. God ceased on the end of the sixth day because everything he made was perfect. So I say that, and if you use this truth, let me give you a scenario. I always go on this. But what was it, 10, 15 years ago, it was global warming, right? Global warming. Then when it gets cold out, global warming doesn't work. Then it's climate change because you have cold and heat. Well, Genesis 8:22 guarantees we're going to have cold and heat. We're going to have night and day. And he's never going to flood the earth again. So you don't have to worry about a glacier melting. You don't have to worry about snow, or you don't have to worry about hot weather. Why? Because the promise of God, you can rest in the promise. That's a spiritual principle, so you don't get in fear in the natural, waste all your money, burn all your time, and worry every day whether your house is going to float away or whether you're going to burn up. Because when I was in school in the 90s, do you know what it was then to put people into fear? The ozone layer is depleting, and we're all going to burn up by the sun. Anybody remember that, or was that just me? Yeah, the ozone level, man, it's totally going away, and the beams of sun are going to come in, and they're going to roast us. That's what they told us in school. Some of you remember that. Some of you are too young. Some of you don't believe me. Either way, I remember it. The ozone was going to fail us, right? Then it's climate change. Then it's global warming. Then it's COVID. It's possible to be monkeypox is the next thing. Because if they keep you in fear and keep you in worry, you can't rest. You're constantly worried about how am I, the economy is going to fail. Let's all collect all the food in the basement, and we got to make sure we have. How do you know what enough is? How do you know if it's 2 weeks of famine? How do you know if it's 10 years of famine? What if you have enough for every day except for the last one, and then it doesn't work? It's fear. Everything is fear-based in the natural to get the seed of God's word out of you so you live in doubt. And in Hebrews, it tells us they never entered into the promised land due to unbelief. So if fear is stirred and unbelief is there, you can never enter into rest. And that's what the world wants to do. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to keep you so busy, so messed up about thoughts about the media and what they keep throwing up on us, that you're in fear all the time, that you just can't sit back and enjoy life. God created with Adam and Eve, he told them to dress and keep the garden. You know what that means? Take care of and watch over it. This earth was designed so humanity could just enjoy it, watch over it, and everything that's in it, just enjoy. And live in peace and harmony. That's what the Garden of Eden was. Guess what? Jesus came to bring that back. So if we enter into God's spiritual rest, we can live a life like we're living in Eden. Free from sickness, free from disease, free from sin, and in perfect fellowship with our Father. That's how Eden was. That's what Jesus produced. And the world doesn't want you to have that. And unfortunately, even some ministries and some false teachers put you into fear, put you into bondage. You have to follow me only. And it turns into a cult. And it's all fear-based to keep you out of the promise of God. Not here. This is New Freedom Church. We're going to live free. Amen. In Jesus' name, I'm sharing this because I want you to enter into his peace. I want you to be able to sit there even right now and just allow the Lord and his presence to speak to you. And you make a decision, hey, there's something available for me. I'm going to enter into this place. Amen. So if you're looking at your watch and you're wondering what time we're getting out of here, I guarantee you, you're not going to enter into God's peace. That's what I'm telling you. You won't enter in. If you're putting everything in a natural above, let's go there. Hebrews. You may be saying, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. He's brewing. Just a dad joke. Anyway, Hebrews 3:19. It says, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter into his rest. If you want the one key to enter into God's rest, it's faith. Yeah. Faith is the key to God's rest. And Jake said it during the testimony. He's like, you see the promise of God, and you just apply your faith and you receive it. Yeah. That's it. That's how you enter in. That's the decision that's made, is to get rid of unbelief and believe God's word. When you believe God's word above everything else, you enter into God's rest. Yeah. The men and women of God, the church, should be at perfect peace. Yeah. They should not be swayed by anything. People's words that you, if somebody gets mad at you and curses you or cusses you, that shouldn't move you at all. That shouldn't stir you to the point of reacting back. Yeah. Because you're not in God's peace if you react back. You're in your flesh. Just like in the, let's go, Hebrews 3:5. Now, there's a lot of scriptures here, but I'm trying to convey to you that there's a place to enter into. And the world's not going to offer it. The world does not want you to have it. So the world wants to keep you, and the enemy wants to keep you in unbelief. Why is everything against the church? Because that's where the breakthrough is. Why is everything against speaking in tongues and healing? Because testimonies, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame. So when you have a testimony, you overcame something the enemy was going to keep out or put on you. You understand what I'm saying? So I truly believe this whole push with COVID was to try to shut down the church. Amen. Try to shut down the church. And it's not going to happen. And if you can see it for what it is, you'll realize that they messed up. They really messed up, because there's millions of people that are like, you guys are a joke. We see what you're trying to do, and we're not going to receive it. And we know you're going to bring it back again, so now we're double empowered to say no to you and yes to God. And you're going to see that within the church. Verse 5, this is talking about Moses, is talking about the promised land, and what I want you to see is that God has a promised land for you in this life. He has a resting place. And a place designed for the body of Christ to live in, to dwell in, amen, that you're not moved by what goes on around you. And I'm not saying it's like a compound somewhere in the natural that you enter into, and it's just every Christian lives in a town and you build a town that's all Christian. It's not that. It's a heart thing. It's a faith place where you're in God and you rest in him and he lifts everything for you. You trust in him for everything. Yeah. Feelings, emotions, thoughts don't move you. You rest in God. You say, oh, well, I have thoughts. Yes, we all have thoughts. But how you handle that thought is where you're resting at. If you rest in the thought, you dwell on the thought, you get over into doubt and unbelief and fear, and then what you actually think about starts operating in your life. What you fear will come on you, but what you believe will come on you.
Amen.
Amen. So if you believe in God, God's on you. And He's going to watch over you. And you can rest in that. You can cease from your ability to lift all the heavy weights in life. For instance, your prayer requests will change when you rest in God. You won't be begging God for money. You'll know the money will be there because God watches out for His children. That's the difference. That's the resting. You know this is the difference. If you need $1,000 by the end of the month, how you see God in your relationship with God is how you're going to act between now and the end of the month to get that $1,000. You understand what I'm saying? If you do it in your own power, you'll go get a job. People may steal from people. They'll do whatever they can to get that $1,000. But if your faith and trust is in God, you know you're sowing, you're believing in God, and you're like, Lord, you're going to bring it. By that time, it's going to be there. And you'll do whatever He tells you to do from here to there. And if He tells you to just get before me, get on your face, that's all you do. You don't lift a finger physically to get that $1,000 because God says, this is what I'm going to do for you. That's the difference. It's a lot easier to say yes to God, make a decision to be with Him, than it is to labor every day, stress and worry, not sleep at night, get mad at your wife, whatever. She bought too many clothes. We don't have the money. You do whatever. You blame everybody else for not having what you need there. But when you rest in God, you put it on Him. And it's a whole lot easier. Is this helping anybody? Does this make sense to anybody? Amen. You get this truth on the inside of you, it'll change you. Jesus rested on the seventh day because it was complete. And you know He made man the sixth day? And everything He said the first 5 days was good. But the sixth day He said it was very good.
Amen.
Why? Because man is the apple of His eye. And He could not make man before the sixth day because man needed everything the first 5 days produced. They needed water, air, land, food, birds, everything that was created the first 5 days was all created for man. That's how much God loves you. So all of creation out there has to submit to man. And you say, well, that doesn't seem real nice. God created it that way. God created it that way. So if He made man on the first day, we would have had nothing to drink. We would have all died. God knew what He was doing. And He made you on the sixth day. And when He made you, He doesn't come back and say, oops, I messed up on David. He doesn't have everything he has need of. I got to come back and fix him. No. When He made man on the sixth day, so every single one of you out there, everyone listening on, you are made perfect in God. Perfect. He ceased from creation, and then He gave His Son to make sure you were made perfect. So wherever you fail, wherever you fall short, you can rest in God, and you're made perfect in that place.
Amen.
Totally perfect in that place. Nothing lacking. You are, the Bible says you're complete in Him. That means He ceased from doing any more after He created humanity. So verse 5, hopefully you found it. It says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house. Get that. Christ is in charge of God's entire house. When you rest in Christ, in God, He's in charge of everything. He lifts everything. He moves everything. He will move mountains for the children of God.
Amen.
The family of God. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. There's the key.
Yeah.
Your confidence in Him is the key to the keeper of the house.
Yeah.
And if you keep the keeper of the house the center of your life, you're resting every day of your life.
Yeah.
You're not stressing about anything because it's the keeper that's keeping it, not you.
Amen.
But if you want to labor and toil and think you got everything and know everything and figure everything out, you go right ahead. I don't encourage it. But that's where people get burnout. Yeah. Ministry is the same way. We are not immune to the world if we disobey God as a minister. It's going to come at us even harder. And that's why you see people get shipwrecked. That's why you see ministries fail. They stop putting their confidence in God. And they started lifting it on their own. Yep. Never, ever, ever give up God's position in your life and what he's supposed to do. You get in that place with him. Yep. Amen. Verse 7. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Notice something here. God is not coming at you or stealing things from you. Somebody gets a hard heart. And the hardness of heart is the unbelief and the pulling back of entering into rest. So the Israelites did not enter in because their hearts got hard. As Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness, their ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. These people were seeing miracle after miracle after miracle for 40 years. You can see miracles and still not rest in God. I know that may be a shock to some of you. You can be touched by God one day on the floor up here, but if you do not put your trust in God after that, you just receive for that moment. Come on, you got to enter into a place where his presence is continually refreshing you and continually ministering to you and continually speaking to you and giving you words and helping you make your decisions. Have to be you and God, not you alone. Because if you make your decisions you alone, you're not entering to his rest. You're taking the bull by the horns yourself. And if you've never taken a bull by the horns, I don't recommend it, but you're going to lose. Without God, this world will consume you. But with God, this world can't touch you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You can either go against the things of God and let the world come at you and you try to lift the world in your own power, or you can enter into God's rest and he overcame the world. It's a decision. Life is a decision to allow God to be the head of your home, to be the Lord of your life. Amen. You can try and be religious and live holy the best you can your whole life and still end up in hell. Or you can bow your knee before God and accept Jesus as your Lord and live your life in heaven.
Amen.
A choice. People make Christianity difficult. Christianity is not labor. Christianity is love. And out of that love, then you labor. It's a labor of love. It's not a labor to try to get love. It's not a labor to try to be accepted by God. That is stressful. That is difficult. We all fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? You'll never experience the love of God if you're trying to look good enough for God. If you're trying to save your money to get good enough clothes to show up to church, you're missing a lot of time with God. Just show up. Just show up. That goes for your prayer life too. If you're trying to get the best prayer to pray to God to get his ear, you're missing it. Faith gets his ear. If you're sincere with your prayer, you'll get God's ear. Lord, I need help in this area. It was said earlier, if you talk differently to God than you talk to someone, you're fooling yourself. You're trying to be holy before God, and you're not being genuine. But a genuine friend talks normal. When I talk to my wife, we talk. Just like we love each other. We just talk to each other. We share things. We share this, and we don't. But if you talk, I don't talk to her like, dear, I love you. Thanks for doing this. And, oh God, you are so marvelous and holy before me. That's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. You gotta become a friend of God. Just enter. God, I need your help here, man. I cannot figure this out. I don't have the finances till the end of this month. You see my need, Lord. You shall supply my need. Lord, thank you that my need's going to be met. That you talk to him because you're in a need. When you're in a need here on the earth, when you're a child and you cry out to your parents, I need this, or this hurts in my. You release the genuineness of who you are. God wants that. God wants that. Let me keep going here. Verse 10. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. It does, it'll anger God if you disobey him. But it's not, God's not coming down to beat you. You're just going to miss out on his rest. You understand what I'm saying? People look at God wrong. They look at God that God's up there ready to beat them over the head. No, God, it breaks God's heart when his children do not follow and enter into his rest. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. So there's a place of rest for the Israelites, the promised land. And he says, they'll never enter my rest or place of rest. Why? Because their heart got hardened and they rebelled against the word of the Lord. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. There's a promised land for you. And you can have it today if you enter into his rest and obey what his word says and seek his face. Let's keep going. Jesus is your entry to God's rest. Amen. Verse 12, be careful then. Notice it. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. I'm sharing this right out of Scripture, and it's speaking to you this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure, get this, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Did he just really say that? That unbelieving is evil? He did. When you do not believe what God's word says, you're being led by a different spirit. You're either of the spirit of God or you're of the spirit of the devil. And I know that's a sharp word, but that's the truth. So when you live for the world, you're living after evil. But when you live for God, you're living after a holy God. Amen. I know, this is exciting stuff. Make sure that your own heart, who has to make sure their heart is right before God? You. That's a decision. I'm sharing this with you so you can understand and you can make the right decision. I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. I'm sharing this because this is the truth that will bring freedom and rest to your life, to your marriage, to your family, to your finances, to everything in your life. God's peace can be a part of it when you enter into his rest. I love you so much. I can't get it out any different. If I could just put it on a 2x4 with a scripture and like implement it to your forehead, I'd do it that way. Any way I could get this freedom into your life, it's my heart's desire. I love you so much, I have to give you the truth. Amen. I have to give this to you. It would be wrong of me to know something in your freedom that you can have and not share it with you because it may offend somebody. I'd rather offend half the people and the other half get set free than not give the truth and know everybody miss out. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you are going to get a hold of it. Some people online are getting a hold of it. Amen. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. So what turns you away from the living God? Unbelieving. Unbelief will turn you from God. You must warn each other every day. Whew. How much? Every day. Every day you should remind yourself of where your faith is lying. Not lying like bad, like where your faith is resting. Every day you should ask yourself, what am I believing God for? Where's my belief system today? Where's God in my life today? Where's the kingdom of God today? When you wake up in the morning, you should ask yourself, thank you, God. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to be an awesome day. I'm going to rest in you today. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free, delivering me of my sins, healing my body in Jesus' name. And guess what? You're resting in God. So when that pain comes, when you get out of bed, you already dealt with it. You understand what I'm saying? You're fighting an offensive battle instead of a defensive battle when you're resting in God. But if you want to take it on your own, you're going to be defensive. And people that are unbelieving are defensive. People that are offended, what's the first thing they do? defend themselves because they're offended. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but when you're offended, you're jealous, you're mad, you're angry, you defend self. But you, when you're resting in God, you walk in love. And you don't get offended. You don't get angry. Somebody could smack me and I'd be like, man, God bless you. I know you're having a bad day. Something's going on in your life and you got a root of bitterness. You understand? You see things differently. And when you rest in God, you don't allow other people to dictate. Their problems don't become your problems. If I don't rest in God and I counsel people, Lord have mercy. There's a lot of things going on in people's lives. A lot of messed up people, a lot of messed up families. And if I don't rest in God and trust God, I take on their problems. So as a minister, instead of letting it flow through me to God and asking the Lord to help in this matter, and I try to take it on, then I got to fix the problem. And that becomes a big problem. Because I got my own problems that I ask the Lord to help me with. I don't need any more problems. So when I say that, I don't mean don't come and ask for counsel and help. What I mean is I'm going to give it to God and release it to Him. And He's going to minister to you because He knows way better than I do. And He can fix the situation. That's resting in God. Not taking it on yourself. Giving it to God. Laying it on the altar. Amen. If there's something that you're going through, the way to rest in God is to release it to God. Just give it to Him. You say, how do I do that? Just tell Him what your problem is. He already knows. But He wants your heart, that you're trusting in Him, and you'll enter right into the promised land. Did you know before the problem gets resolved in the natural, you already have the promised land by the Spirit? That's resting in God. So before the bill even comes, God knows it, and you can speak to the bill before you even see it in the natural, and the bill's paid. Already by faith. I know that's beyond your intellect. You're not going to catch it in the natural. That's the difference between resting in God by faith and living in the natural and in unbelief. When you get the negative report from the doctor, how you handle it is what you're resting in. Are you in unbelief or are you in faith? Are you trusting in God that you're the healed of the Lord? Or are you just, you're going to go with whatever comes down the pike? I'm not going to say that either. Let's keep going. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardness against God. Notice something here. I'm doing this because the Bible tells me to remind you of it. I have to remind you of this. Why? Because by default, our heart will get hard. Anybody realize that? You miss out on Bible reading, you miss out on fellowship, you miss out on talking to God, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit distant from God? Okay, nobody's dealt with that. Praise God. Okay, you guys are holy, holy, holy. verse 14, for if we are faithful, this is you. I got any faithful here? Okay, there's a couple of you. Praise God. For if we are faithful to the end. What's the end? The end is when Jesus takes us home. The end is when you breathe your last breath. Faithfulness is not a Sunday morning thing. Faithfulness is a lifestyle every day, every moment till Jesus takes you home. Because faithfulness is the key to entering into the rest. And if you're not filled with faith, what does faithful mean? Anytime full is at the end of something, that means you're full of what it said. So if you're fearful, you're full of fear. If you're mindful, your mind is filled with whatever. You understand what I mean? If you're faithful, you're full of faith. So, what does it say? For if we are faithful, full of faith, to the end, trusting God, just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. All that belongs to Christ is for the faithful. For the faithful, you have the key in your heart and in your mouth to enter into His rest. It's your decision. It's in you. It's already in you. I'm just stirring it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I'm stirring people's faith in their heart to say, hey, this is for me. I can enter into a place of rest. God's got me. God's watching over my family. I'm not going to have the curse that the rest of my family had. Cancer's come down through the generations in my family. Oh, it stopped with the last generation. It's not my family because I'm full of faith. And I'm resting in God. And God, Christ, is already paid and broke that curse. So I don't have to live in that any longer. That's no longer mine. Amen. Amen. This will bless you. Whew. Verse 15. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. I encourage you today, don't harden your heart to the message that's being put forth today. Receive it. Verse 16, and who was it who rebelled against God? See, you get problems when you read too many translations. You start intertranslating. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? Get that. They rebelled against God even though they heard his voice. Some people have heard God's voice 30 years ago, but they haven't committed to what God spoke to them 30 years ago. And there's times where it's hard in your life and you're wondering why, but there's a hardness of heart and a rebellion that's been placed on the inside by your decision. They rebelled against God even though they heard his voice. Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? These were the ones that broke away from Pharaoh's dictatorship, broke out of Egypt. And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? Man, that's harsh. And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. There it is. Due to their unbelief. They heard God. They even saw God deliver them. They even saw God minister 40 years to them, provide quail, provide manna. All that they had need of was provided. God was moving. And they still made the decision to disobey God. And they never entered his rest. God moves in this church. Oh, does he move in this church? I know he moves in this church because I'm changed. Amen. And I'm being changed daily by the power of God. And God's changing each of you by the power of God. You may be sitting here, well, I don't feel anything. Stop being moved by your feelings. Your feelings have no bearing on what God is doing. As long as they're second to God. Amen. Amen. Verse chapter 4. God promised to enter his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. This is New Testament, Hebrews, still stands today. The ability to enter God's rest. It isn't done away with. It wasn't just for the Israelites. I'm sharing it with you because it's available right now for every one of you and every one of you online. Yeah. There's a rest that you can enter into by faith. Yeah. You may have been told that you're not good enough. You may have been told it can never happen to you. You may have been told you're not smart enough. You shouldn't go to church. You may have been told a laundry list of things about how you're not good enough or you'll never make it. You're not smart enough. I'm telling you right now, there's a rest that's available for every single human being that wants it. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you look like. I'm telling you right now, there's a rest. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience. That's where I tremble. Is that what is available for people, they don't experience it. And I see it all the time. And it breaks my heart out in the world. There's a rest for people. There's a place in God that Jesus paid for them to enter in and come into the family and enter his rest. Where they don't have to worry, fear, and be anxious about anything. They can give it all to God. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I believe it says in Acts, 17:28? I think I wrote it down. In him we live and move and have our being. That's a place of rest. In him, I don't move till God tells me to move. I don't stop preaching till God tells me to stop preaching. Even if your face looks like I should stop preaching. Amen. That woke some of you up. That doesn't move me. God moves me because God is dealing with people's hearts right now about entering into the greatest covenant and family that's ever been known to man. And if I stop based off of someone that's looking like they sucked on a lemon and someone's eternity is messed up because of it, shame on me. I'm preaching better than you. It's a holy hush. I'm telling you right now, this is business with God. This is as serious as it comes. And people are worried about the cheeseburger for lunch. Somebody's eternity is in the balance right now. Somebody's victory over sickness and disease is on the balance right now. They've got stage 4 cancer and they're concerned. They have no hope. They are worried about dying and they don't know where they're going. And yet, the people of God come to church, check the box, and get up as soon as they can, as soon as the minister says amen. And they're gone. Because they're so concerned about self. And I know it's not New Freedom Church. I'm talking to those online. But this is serious. This is life or death. Eternity's a long time. If you don't know how long it is, you're going to find out. And I pray every single person under the sound of my voice is in heaven to spend it. Because God forbid they spend it in hell, because there's no more decision after death. It's done. It's a finished thing. So a couple extra minutes on a Sunday morning to give someone to operate in faith to receive Jesus Christ is a big deal to me. It's a huge deal to me. Going to Dover and helping people, that's a huge deal to me. I sacrifice things to go do things for somebody else. That's big. Because it shares Jesus with people. And if we can't take a moment to do something for someone else or take time to hear God's word, shame on us. I know this is direct. It sounds harsh, but it's in love. It's in love. God's promise to enter his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. I don't want anybody that I know or that I come across to experience failure and not able to enter his rest, not able to enter eternity. You may say, well, I'm sitting here, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Praise God, but there's a rest for you on this earth. The promised land was not heaven. The promised land was a place on earth that they entered, filled with milk and honey, with milk and honey. And guess what? There is giants in the land. Some of you think you have giants in your land, and you may do. You may have giants in your land. But Caleb and Joshua, they weren't moved by the giants. They said, we're more than able to take the land. And that's why I preach the way I preach, because I know each one of you are more than able to take the land in your life. You say, I'm not talking about a property of 50 acres. I'm talking about provision in everything. Your thought patterns, your life, your feel, everything about you, your emotions. Take that ground. Take ownership of your ground. Amen. Take ownership of your marriage. Take ownership of your children. Raise them in the way they should go and they shall not depart. Amen. Take time with your kids. Spend it with them. There's areas I've missed on that. Due to ministry. I miss time with my daughter and my son because of ministry. And I messed up and I had to repent. Thank God they know the Lord. Amen. Thank God the Lord made up the difference. Because I couldn't see. I saw other people's hurt and my own family hurts. Yeah. It's real. Because you want people set free so bad. You'll do anything you can to get them set free. But then you lose your kids because you're looking so hard at other people. It's happened in my life. I haven't lost my kids because of grace of God. Thank God. But I'm telling you, when people's heart breaks for people, you'll go above and beyond. You'll put everything you have on the backside. Millions of dollars, inheritance, land, inheritance. I could care less. I could care less about it. Because if one person receives Jesus and goes to heaven, based off of my faithfulness to release of that, I got an inheritance for eternity. I can't take land with me, but I can take a soul with me for eternity. This is a big deal, church. I got so much more to preach on this, but Praise God. I'm going to end on this. I want you to see something here. Entering to God's rest is entering into His Spirit and being led by His Spirit all the days. It's not a flesh thing. It's not a work thing. I wrote some things down. It's not works. It's not laboring. It's not toiling. It's not praying. It's not preaching. It's not attendance. It's not tithing. It's not giving. It's nothing to do with what you physically do in the natural. All of those are biblical. All of those should be done by the church. Amen. But they are done out of a place of rest, not out of a place of duty. See the difference? Total difference. Religion wants you to do all those things to enter His rest. God says, by faith, enter my rest and do all these things. Amen. See the difference? It's a total different way of doing it. That's why religion and traditions and denominations push certain things. You got to be a certain way. You got to have a certain Bible. You got to kneel so many times, stand so many times, wear certain things, swing smoke to certain places. All that kind of stuff is all religion. But a relationship comes to God as you are saying, I am not good enough. I sin and I fall short of your glory. I receive your Son, Jesus, right now. And you enter into His rest, and then you can work for the Lord. Because it's easy then. It's not in your power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. Amen. And you have a joyful spirit to you, not a hope of, oh my golly, if I don't attend 50 weeks out of 52, God's not happy with me. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift. Everyone bow your heads, close your eyes. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful you came today. I'm so thankful you listened online today. There's a place of entrance. There's a place of entrance into rest, and it's by faith of the finished work of the cross. Verse 7 says this. You can bow your head and close your eyes. Just listen. It says, so God set another time for entering His rest. And that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today, God set a time to enter into His rest. If you're anxious, if you're worried, if you're concerned, if you're not at perfect peace, in areas of your life, there's a place of rest that you can enter into. Don't keep beating in that area to try to break it. Enter into God's rest and let the hand of God come and bring a change in that area. If you're here today or listening online, you've never entered into God's rest. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. I pray you do so now. There's a place to enter in, and it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never asked Him, it's a prayer. It's a confession of faith. See, faith is the entrance. Faith is the entrance into God. In every area, it's by faith. By faith, they entered the promised land. By faith, they received a good report. By faith, they were healed. Hallelujah. And by faith, you can receive Jesus Christ and all your sins can be forgiven. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe in my heart that you raised Christ from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again. The gap between the Father and me, you have bridged. And I receive you now. Thank you, Lord, for bridging the gap. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a saint. I'm no longer a Greek or a Gentile, but I'm the church. I'm part of the family. Thank you, Lord. Do you know that prayer works in every area? If you need to enter His rest in an area, Lord, whatever that area is, just ask Him. Just ask Him. Enter into His rest today. It's between you and God, right where you're seated. You're listening online, wherever you are around the world, you can enter into His rest. God is everywhere, all the time. He's our ever-present help in time of need. If you need help, He is there. Enter in by faith. Believe that God can make a way in that area. Believe that God will show you the decision you need to make. Believe God that whatever finances you need for the bills that you have, that the door would open and you'll have more than enough in Jesus' name. If you're believing God for property or a business or a house, enter into His rest. It's counterintuitive. It's opposite of the way your brain works. You're trying to labor your way and earn your way into a place in God or into something in the natural. Entering into His rest is putting it on God. Believing God and watching the hand of God move on your behalf. Hallelujah. If you need healing in your body, enter into His rest. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for everyone here today. I thank You for Your word that's powerful and sharp. You continue on in Hebrews 4, a few verses down, it talks about it in verse 12. The word of God is powerful, living and powerful. It's working even now on the hearts of people, on their spirits, on their souls, and in their bodies. You're entering in and the Lord is downloading things for you to do, decisions for you to make. That's how it works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It starts in faith, and then you see it in the natural. You enter in by faith, and then you start to see the hand of God move in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's stirring. His Spirit is stirring right now because faith is being released. Faith is being released. Hallelujah. You say, well, I haven't seen that. Watch. Watch the hand of God. Watch the hand of God. Those that live in the Dover area, watch. God's getting ready to do something big. Oh, yeah. God's getting ready to do something big in your life. Hallelujah. There's going to be a door open in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I see it. I see it. Your sacrifice to come and to travel and to press into God, God sees that. He's going to move. He's going to move. See, there can be a whole room full of people, but the ones that are in faith, God illuminates and He sees and He moves on their behalf. And some people get jealous. They get upset because somebody else got the blessing and they did. But faith. Faith is a deciding factor. Making a decision. I'm not going to not believe. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to trust God in every area of my life. Watch and see what the Lord's going to do. Watch and see what the Lord's going to do. Amen. And the greatest reward is in the end we enter heaven. Because of faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I thank You. For today. I thank You for those listening online. God bless them. I thank them for joining us. Amen. We're believing God for God's best in your life. Hallelujah. To enter into a place of rest. And you operate out of that place. Don't enter in and run out. Don't enter in and get blessed and get the answer and then live the way you want to live. Enter in and stay. Enter in and stay. That's for somebody here. That's for some. Thanks for listening online. God bless you. Somebody here needed to hear that. You've entered in. You received something from the Lord. But then once you got what you had need of, once you like got a fix, you leave. You think you can do it on your own because you got the need that you couldn't do met. And then all of a sudden you tried to carry it in your own power. That's not how it works. God wants you to enter in once and stay in that place. Operate out of rest. Operate out of rest. operate out of the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God. Everything flows. The gifts of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. All of that flows out of rest. All of the gifts of the Spirit flow out of God's rest. If that's something you need love, you need peace, patience, joy. It's out of a place of rest. You enter in by faith and you receive by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, in the name of Jesus, it's yours. It's a decision to enter in. It's a decision to enter in. Seeking Him first, surrendering all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If the Lord's dealing with you about something and you would like prayer, you're welcome to come forward. I'm opening the altar to you now. I'll leave.